Good afternoon, believers, spirit-filled believers. We're going to be talking about separation today, inclusivism versus exclusivism. Well, if you can't even say it, but inclusive and exclusivism. There we go. Or pluralism. What is that all about? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:13, and also Titus 3:10. 1 Timothy 6:3, 2 Thessalonians 3:14, and 1 Corinthians 5:13. Well, let's do the Corinthians. Get both of them done first here. So 2 Cor 11:13, what kind of fellowship should we have with other believers? Do we need to completely separate from the world and, like, not even go into a gas station or into a grocery store because there's unbelievers in there? Well, of course not. That's absurd. What this is meant is to have no religious fellowship with those who reject the truth. And we have to take into account, though, that no one knows at all. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah." So these are very evil people that we're speaking of, that go up into the pulpits, and they're somewhat obvious to many of us. Somewhat obvious to many people, many believers. They are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. So they do look like the apostles of Messiah. They do seem like that. They walk and act and talk like a true apostle. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a messenger of light. Notice here that they're using, in English, they even use the Hebrew word for ha-Satan, for the devil himself. But when it comes to our Messiah, they do not use, you know, they don't use his name or his title. They use substitutes. Verse 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." Now, his ministers, referring to the devil's ministers or Satan's ministers, "also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And they're not going to be looking too good. "I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." And so he says to be careful, to stay away from these false ministers. Back to chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness?" So don't be unequally yoked in any way with unbelievers. Now that doesn't mean if you go down and get a job and you're working with an unbeliever that you're not supposed to be working with him there at the gas station or cash register or chairlift or something out on the slopes. No, you can be yoked in that manner, but just not spiritually yoked. We don't work together with these people who obviously reject the truth that Messiah died for us on the tree, and that only by his death, burial, and resurrection are we completely saved, and we'll have a wonderful future eternally because of the death, burial, resurrection, and the blood of our Messiah. But if they reject that, then and if they reject his law, well, obviously they're not one of Messiah's, so we don't have fellowship. We don't want to be equally or unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verse 15, "What concord has Messiah with Belial, an epithet of Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? For you are, if you're saved, for you are," it doesn't say if you're saved, I added that, "but for you are the temple of the living Yahweh, as Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their mighty one, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, stay in that church so you can convert them." No, wherefore, it says in verse 17, "come out from among them." Don't stay in that Laodicean apostate lukewarm assembly where everyone is rejecting Yahweh, rejecting his law, rejecting the immersion, the command to be immersed in the water in the name of Yahweh, according to John 3, come out from among them and be separate, saith Yahweh. Touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you. That's Messiah speaking. He's going to be a father unto us. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty. This idea of that immersion is not necessary, or commonly called baptism, that it's not necessary, it really doesn't matter how much water is in the baptismal, or where we go down into the river, where we are immersed by our Messiah, Yahweh Hosha. The level of water doesn't matter. Pardon me, the very word itself, immerse, means to be immersed. It doesn't mean to be sprinkled. I mean, come on. Immersion is immersion. There's just no other way to interpret that word. Well, we can misinterpret it, and that is called having a private interpretation. But I went there on that rabbit trail. But the main subject is that we're coming out from among the lukewarm, amongst those who reject the word of Yahweh, those who say it doesn't matter which version of Scripture we're using. Oh, come on, is it all right to remove half the Scriptures and still say, well, we're promoting this version and that new version? This one is from Egypt. Let's use it anyway. Now, Egypt is a type of sin, and we are not supposed to be watering down his word or changing it, altering it, like we do so much in these modern versions. There's one or two of them of messianic versions that are probably okay. These scriptures and the restoration scriptures, those are two good versions of what is commonly called the Bible. And, the next scripture that we go to about being separated was 1 Corinthians 5:13, and then we'll go to Titus, okay? 1 Corinthians, 1 Cor, I call it, just for short, 5:13, being separate. But then, they are without Yahweh judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, we'd have to read the whole context there, which would take longer, but backing up to two verses. But now I have written unto you, go back to verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Right, not with fornicators or the leaven people. That means those who have physical or spiritual fornication in their lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 5:10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. But then you must needs go out of the world. You'd have to go into the first heaven, up a couple of feet into outer space and be away from the world. Wouldn't be able to live up there. Eventually, you wouldn't have oxygen. But now, I have written unto you not to keep company of any man that is called a brother. In other words, if he is or she is called a brother or sister, that they say that they're saved, and then they are a fornicator or covetous or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such as one, no, not to eat, or not even to have fellowship, in other words. And we also read there in 2 Corinthians 6:19, the same theme, the same idea there that we've been talking about. And 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without the assembly? Do not you judge them that are within the assembly, but them that are without Yahweh judges. Those are without, comma, Yahweh judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. I read that verse twice there. That sounds like you've heard it before. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Strength in Yahweh's word on coming out from among the wishy-washy, lukewarm, watered-down, jet set, way too modern people that, that their basis is not the word of Yahweh. It's anything else but this being like the world. To them, that's how to be successful, is to oppose Yahweh's word and then use carnal, worldly methods in order to attract other people into their club or assembly or church or synagogue or Jehovah's Witness Hall or Jewish synagogue or something. They're trying to attract these people with the worldly methods. Let's use worldly music, worldly dress. Have the girls kind of dress up with low-cut gowns or tight blouses and things. And then, of course, men and even women will be attracted there to that assembly. But what is their reason for going? It's because that they like these other people that are in there. It's not because they are in love with Yahweh. Although, hopefully that they will fall in love with him. But we're not going to use a carnal method to try to get them in the assembly. What could be another example? Having a lot of potlucks just to attract people to go to the assembly. That's not a real bad thing or anything. I mean, but people do go overeat, and a lot of them do just come there to eat. They're not interested in the word of Yahweh, but you sow the seed and some falls by the wayside and some falls on the stony ground and so forth. So maybe I shouldn't have said that about the potlucks, but in some churches and assemblies, that's all it is just a social club going to these potlucks all the time, getting fat or getting a little bit overweight anyway, and then we tell each other that Yahweh approves of it. Well, that's totally wrong. That's false. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to quickly go there. Avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Now, Paul is not writing here in Titus to not study the law and discuss it. He's saying, the foolish things people say about the law, such as, we don't need to keep it anymore because we're saved. You go down to the jail and you talk to somebody and they say, well, I was a Baptist, I'm saved, but I realize that I have to keep the law or I wind up in trouble. No, they'll be in trouble not only with the judge, but also with the judge and the almighty judge, Yahweh. They know that, but people in churches, they just try to brush it off and say, well, it's okay to, do anything. You can be married 10 times, Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he is such a person is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. That was Titus 3:10. A man that is a heretic, of course, you'd have to judge whether or not he is a heretic, whether he believes the word or not. That was Titus 3. The next one, Romans 16:17, is another popular verse about separation, that we should not include everyone in the entire world as considering them as being saved, and that they can just come in and be given a title like pastor. Just because we say they're saved doesn't make them saved. They have to show it by their deeds, by their example, and so on, by their very actions, whether they are saved or not. If they're out committing adultery or stealing or breaking the Sabbath, then we know that they are trying to deceive us and trying to con us. So this is Stefan Yah, and I'm reading Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a separated kiss. The assemblies of Yahusha salute you. Or King James of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. So here's judging going on. People say, oh, you're not supposed to judge. But contrarily, and to the opposite opinion, Paul says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Learned from who? Learned from Paul. Learned from the entire scripture. Avoid them. So do we go over each Thanksgiving and Christmas and pagan New Year and have supper with them if they are religious and they have rejected Yahweh's word, if they knew it at one time and had fallen away? No. Of course, we have to be kind of careful, in a way, but in another way, we have to be very careful in bringing our young children into the presence of a wicked person, a wicked grandmother, grandfather that's just trying to spoil our child. They realize where it's going, that if the child keeps the faith of their parents, they'll be not enjoying the pagan holidays anymore. They'll be keeping Yahweh's way, and they're not going to like their grandchildren running around doing these things. When they grow up, grandchildren will teach other people on how to serve Yahweh. So actually, it'd be better to try to avoid any kind of a fellowship with, especially during the pagan holidays, with friends and relatives. If there is some kind of an advantage to it that would outweigh the bad, I don't recommend it. But verse 18, I'll just, maybe I should be quiet and just read the word here for a moment. and then I can explain something I know how to talk about. Romans 16, let's start over, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are they, and they are such that, for they are that are such serve not Yahusha, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, they do have good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Also, you can see Jude, verse 16. It goes along well with that in a parallel way. Well, we read so far from Romans 16, from 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5, Titus 3:10. Let's go over to Timothy. Another well-quoted, often-quoted scripture about separation from neo-evangelicals, from those in the New Age movement, into Christian psychology, who are way off the track. They say it doesn't matter what version of scripture you use. It doesn't matter at all. Well, then I guess nothing does. Words don't mean anything, if they were right, but they are wrong. 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Messiah, Yahusha, and to the doctrine which is according to goodliness, doctrine means teaching, goodliness, or in the King James, godliness, actually both words are not totally proper, but to make the sense, we'll just use goodliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, or fighting, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is goodliness, from such withdraw thyself. So there again, the world and the world's churches, these emerging churches, the Rick Warren, the Saddleback Community Church, and so on, they would say that you're supposed to use those methods, the destitute of the truth, corrupt minds, and supposing that gain is goodliness, that you're supposed to use those to draw people into the assembly. But on the other hand, Yahweh says, withdraw thyself. But goodliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. Just try to be content with what we have, even though there's always the coveting of more, more, and more. And we'll have to go back. We turn back to a couple of pages here, to 2 Thessalonians 3:14, on this wonderful day and website, wonderful day in Yahweh's kingdom. 2 Thess 3:14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So, you know, we have to be very clear in what we're saying, that, you know, truth is truth, and evil is evil. So it's all straightened up here. Then moving on to another scripture verse. Well, no, maybe that'll do it for now. Let's see, we have, we could go to Galatians 1:8. Turn back to Galatians chapter 1. Or you don't need to turn there if you're driving along or brushing your teeth, listening to an MP3. But though we or a messenger from heaven preach any other evangel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That was Galatians chapter 1, where it starts out there in chapter 1 with various subjects, various topics, and then it goes into chapter 2, establishing the theme for the rest of the book of Galatians. The theme is the law of circumcision. And it ends up, as I think I can recollect, that the book of Galatians ends up talking about circumcision as well. But even if it doesn't, we know that it established that in chapter 2. So I'm looking here. And so the question comes from many people. So you are the only one who is going to spend eternity with Yahweh? In other words, like going to heaven or going to New Jerusalem. No. All the commandment-keeping people are maybe striving to serve Yahweh if they're saved by His unmerited favor. They're believing in the Messiah only for salvation. But anyway, we need to keep seeking truth, and we need to strive to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect, according to our Messiah, who said that in Matthew chapter 5, to seek to be perfect, not to just let things go and say, oh, well, nothing matters anyway, or to say, all right, now everybody is time for everybody to have an altar call, now with no one looking around as so as not to embarrass anyone, raise your hand while our eyes are closed. Raise your hand if you would like to be saved. Oh, that's such a tragedy, such a sick thing, a sad deal to try to get people to just say that they want to be saved by raising their hand, and they don't want to be recognized by anybody else. They don't want to be embarrassed by anybody. I doubt if there is a motive for salvation there at all, if they don't want to be recognized and don't want to confess with their mouth and by their presence, look, I'm here, I want to be saved. I've been a big mucky muck, a big leader of the city council or of a great corporation or radio station, but I walked into this assembly and I'm humbled by Yahweh's word, by the preaching. I'd like to be saved. How do you do it? You believe in the Messiah, believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. The Messiah, His name is Yahushua. Then He commands us to do many, many things, and those commands are found in the Word, from Genesis all the way to the last book, which is the book of Revelation. But we're not saved by doing those other things. We're perhaps getting a crown of esteem, perhaps getting a higher place in eternity, but it doesn't earn us in any way our salvation by keeping a commandment, by tithing, by singing, or by witnessing to a neighbor or something. Somebody, you know. Politics certainly can't save us. Somebody said, well, what we need to do is get a better conservative Republican Party in America. Or what we need to do is have a better constitution and stick to, taking the correct oath and all of that. That's still not going to save anyone unless they are believing in the Word, in Yahweh's Word in the Scriptures. So, moving on here, I want to flip through in a moment to a variety of subjects. So I think I'll take a break here because I've got to get to the right page and I don't want to take up your time there. This file was 23 minutes long. Yahweh, not Yahweh. Thank you for joining us. And remember, come out of her, come out of the unclean assembly and read Scripture, believe in Yahweh for eternal life and for how to live your life in eternity throughout this age and the wonderful world to come. Hallel Yahweh, Shalom.